reducing our meat production is probably the single most effective thing that individuals can do immediately to reduce their greenhouse gas impact. For a long time, this message hadn't gotten out, but it's now starting to get out for many reasons.
Welcome to Planet Earth, our loving home. Today's episode is entitled Vegan, the Fastest Way to a Cooler Planet, Part 2. During this series, we will introduce you to current information on greenhouse gas emissions, solutions for rapid planetary cooling, and why a plant-based diet is the quickest, most inexpensive way to reduce emissions and stabilize the Earth's temperature. Scientific research has shown that climate change is occurring more rapidly than the worst-case scenarios that were put forward by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, just a few years ago. Thus, many scientists and politicians are coming to realize the urgency of reducing the planet's temperature as expeditiously as possible. In the past, efforts to mitigate global warming have focused almost exclusively on lowering carbon dioxide emissions. But we now know that although reducing CO2 is critical, even if the entire world switched to a zero carbon economy and lifestyle today, it would take thousands of years for this gas to dissipate. Some scientists and government officials now recognize that limiting shorter-lived greenhouse gases such as methane and ozone and other contributors to warming, such as black carbon, released into the air from burning biomass and fossil fuels, can have a major influence in slowing planetary heating in a short amount of time. As one climate scientist says, we need to reduce short-lived greenhouse gases today in order to ensure a livable planet for our children. And we need to reduce CO2 to ensure a livable planet for generations a few hundred years from now. Limiting these gases, particularly methane, is relatively inexpensive and rapid, whereas many of the technologies to reduce CO2 are either in their infancy or are costly and time-consuming to integrate into the current infrastructure. Scientific understanding of the role of livestock in accelerating global warming has increased as well. Some researchers are beginning to recognize that livestock contributes much more to global greenhouse gas emissions than the 18% estimated by the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization 2006 report, Livestock's Long Shadow. This report states that livestock raising is the number one source of human-caused methane. Methane, in turn, contributes to the creation of ozone. As livestock production and cultivating feed for these animals are both responsible for over 70% of rainforest destruction in the Brazilian Amazon, shifting to a plant-based diet can reduce black carbon particles landing on ice, such as Antarctica or the Andean glaciers, by ending the forest burning done to clear space for growing animal feed and cattle grazing. According to the United Nations, the livestock sector produces 37% of the world's anthropogenic methane. This is another reason that eating a plant-based diet is one of the fastest ways to cool the planet. Dr. Kirk Smith, a member of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences and a member of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, strongly advocates reducing our methane footprint.
Some of the math of global warming decay.
Well, let's look at the graph here. This is from the IPCC, and this is one of the most important single graphs in the IPCC documents. It shows the amount of warming from the different pollutants. At the top is CO2, that long red line, and we won't talk about the units, but this illustrates the amount of warming that's occurring in this particular year, 2005. But look at the next one. The next one is methane. It's more than half of the CO2. And then you go down the list there, there's carbon monoxide and black carbon. When you start adding those in, makes the non-CO2 gases actually more important than CO2. So it's not that CO2 isn't important, and everybody think that's the case. It's just that why not also consider these other things, particularly when we make changes in them, we get an immediate benefit. With CO2, it takes a long time. This shows the amount of decay of methane. You put CO2 and methane in the atmosphere, I think this is for the year 2008, how much is left? Natural processes remove it, fortunately, from the atmosphere, otherwise we'd really be in trouble. But we're just putting in pollutants faster than they can be naturally removed. And so you can see that in the first few years, the CO2 actually comes out faster than methane. But then CO2 slows, its removal slows down, and you can see the blue line there is higher than methane after 10 years. And then if you look at over a 100-year period, you can see that after 100 years, hardly any of the methane we release today is in the atmosphere in 100 years. You know, a considerable amount of the CO2 we release today is in the atmosphere in 100 years.
Reducing methane has another benefit in that ground-level ozone is a short-lived greenhouse gas created in part by methane.
But the other side of it is that methane reductions have other benefits that CO2 does not have. Methane is more damaging, for example, than CO2 for climate, and also produces other problems, including the creation of ozone in the atmosphere. Many people get confused. There's ozone in the stratosphere. That's way high up in the air. We want to protect that ozone. That's good ozone, if you will. And methane has no impact on that. But methane has an impact on creating ground-level ozone, so-called tropospheric ozone in atmospheric science terminology. It's like smog in L.A. or smog in Houston or smog in Mexico City. And it's bad for health, and it damages plants, damages animals. One of the causes of that ozone is methane emissions.
And ozone's the number three greenhouse gas after CO2 and methane in terms of human contributions to the enhanced radiative forcing of the atmosphere, meaning if you add up methane and ozone, they're having about half the impact as CO2. So these minor greenhouse gases, you know, we think about CO2 a lot, but methane together with ozone really are packing a punch as well.
Would lowering methane emissions have an impact on reducing ozone so as to produce rapid planetary cooling? Stay tuned for Dr. Smith's answer when we return.
So if we were to immediately, tomorrow, let's say, reduce our methane,
it would affect ozone levels instantly.
You are watching Vegan, the fastest way to a cooler planet, on Supreme Master Television.
The global warming we're seeing today, and likely to be seeing in the near future, is primarily from other gases, mainly methane. So we need to address these sources, and the number one source of methane emissions is animal agriculture. That's the most powerful source we can address to reduce the global warming we're seeing today.
Dr. Kirk Smith discusses various sources of methane and states that because livestock is the single largest human source of this gas, eating lower on the food chain is the most effective way to lower our methane footprint.
Most of us don't see the methane that we produce. It's one step removed. But we still produce, each of us, a lot of methane by our activities, one step removed. Some of us might produce methane if we had, some kind of a pit in the backyard that was filled with garbage or something might produce methane. But where do we produce our methane? We produce it through our sewage, through the landfills where our garbage goes, through the leakage in the natural gas pipelines that supply our houses, through the emissions of methane from coal mines, where they mine our coal to power our power plants, and from animals, livestock. The biggest single source of human-caused methane emissions is livestock.
On the pie chart, a large section of the contributing factors has to do with the raising of livestock.
That's right.
So switching to a meat-free or vegetarian diet, how might that impact us on a global level and help us reduce the methane, thereby reduce, slowing down the process of global warming.
Already, livestock is 20% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Excuse me, the meat system includes the animals, includes growing the food for the animals, includes the transport of the meat, includes the fertilizer to grow the food, to feed the meat. There was a recent article last fall in Lancet, the famous medical journal, that laid this all out, showing that, and that's with not treating methane any more than the sort of normal way it's used. If you treat it more, if you worry about it a bit more, as we were talking about a minute ago, then that 20% will go up to maybe 30%. So the 30% in the next 20 years is going to be due to meat production. So there is something that an individual can do. Most of us aren't growing our own meat. But when you, you know, pick out that slab of meat from the Safeway, you are in a sense turning on the whole system that creates it. Just as you turn on the electricity in your house, you're turning on the power plant.
So then by simply purchasing any of these meat products, people are indirectly contributing to increase in methane.
That's right, methane and the whole operation of the meat system. How are we going to get people to eat less meat? You know, it's going to take a lot of effort, you know, of the media like yourselves and, you know, maybe schools to get at this. Now, I mean, you know, myself and my wife, we were heavily influenced by our daughter, who's been vegetarian since sixth grade. And when she's home, we're completely vegetarian. But my wife and I, we're moving toward that state.
We need to decrease the amount of methane that we're putting up. And one way is to become vegetarian. It really, truly makes a difference.
Unless we change our food choices, nothing else matters, because it is meat that is destroying most of our forests. It's meat that pollutes the waters. It is meat that is creating disease, which leads to all our money being diverted to hospitals. So it's the first choice for anybody who wants to save the earth.
We are glad we could share time together to explore some basic science on how eating a plant-based diet is the quickest and easiest way to cool the planet. Please be sure to tune in again next week for Vegan, the Fastest Way to a Cooler Planet, Part 3, on Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. Up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May your spirit be as free as a butterfly in the wind.
For more details, please visit www.SupremeMasterTV.com/PE.